Let's talk about what's happening with our education system. My next guest, Brandon Wright, editorial director of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, says that our accountability system here with our schools is really letting us all down. Brandon, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, thanks.
Now, you say the main issue is this effort to get students to the proficiency level, and that's letting especially our high-performing students down. How so?
Right. So the problem there is when you sort of oversimplify what makes a school good, and that's exactly what this does, you incentivize teachers to pay attention to kids who are right around this proficiency bar, this objective level of achievement. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for a long time, since the old federal law, No Child Left Behind. But unfortunately, the state is extending this focus, even as a new federal law has been passed that gives the state a lot more power to design their own system. So because you're focusing on kids right around this proficiency bar.
Okay, but we've got schools with, when it comes to math, with single-digit proficiency, like 8% proficiency. shouldn't that be where we begin focusing?
I don't think you have to begin in one place despite another. The system that we're proposing, that we advocate for, that a number of other states have, incentivizes schools and teachers to pay attention to all kids. And this is possible.
And how do you do that?
So there's a couple ways. One would be, for example, to take advantage of technology to sort of personalize more learning in classrooms. That's mm-hmm. generally like a very politically palatable option. The better option, though, in my opinion, is to, in a very fluid year-to-year way, split up kids by ability. So as opposed to having every single third grade class comprise everything from very low achievers to very high achievers, mm-hmm. you'd have two, three, four classes. And what that would do is it would allow teachers to instruct in a way that is relevant to as many kids as possible for as many hours in the day as possible.
Yeah, have you heard any reactions, like people worried that it would stigmatize certain students as being slow or anything like that?
Well, sure. That's why I said that this option isn't as politically palatable. But B, the important part is I want this option to be fluid. So just because you're maybe in a lower achieving class in math in third grade, that doesn't mean A, that you're in the lower achieving class in third grade English, and it doesn't mean that you can't make progress and get into a different class in fourth grade or even halfway through a given school year. Yeah. If the goal here, to answer your question about how this is possible, is to try to maximize the amount of time that any given kid has with his or her teacher doing work that's actually relevant to where he or she is at.
That they can actually understand. Brandon Wright with us with the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. So this Every Student Succeeds Act, what kind of new power does it give Michigan then?
It gives them a ton of new power. So we're talking here about accountability, right? How the state ensures that its schools are doing right by them.
Brandon, just let me interrupt here. Your phone's breaking up a bit. You were hanging in there till that last question. Let me see if we can get a better sound to it. So you're saying that it gives us more power to set the accountability standard. So are you saying we should just give up or put aside this whole proficiency focus altogether?
No, setting objective bars is important, right? These kids are training to enter adulthood, where they enter the real world, and you essentially can either hack it or you can't. But what you're doing with school accountability is you're trying to make sure that that schools and teachers are doing right by their kids. And the better way to track that is to actually look at what's happening on a day-to-day, year-to-year basis. The best way to do that is to track student growth as opposed to student achievement, or at least make growth more of a focus.
I'm curious, do you think assessing teachers, should that be a key factor in assessing how teachers are doing, that paradigm, that dynamic, the growth per year to year?
that should be a major factor. Other ways to see whether a teacher is doing his or her job is to do things like classroom observation, but it should be sort of a multifaceted approach. And what isn't fair is when you judge teachers in terms of how many students he or she has above a single objective achievement bar. And the big reason for that is when you look at low-income schools versus high-income schools, a lot of low-income kids enter kindergarten at a much lower achievement level than the more affluent peers. That's because of all of these disadvantages these kids suffer from the time they're born to the time they start school.
So you're saying basically then, teachers can't be all on the teacher because of that long-term dynamic, is that it?
Exactly. Yeah. And that sort of gap between low and high-income kids persists essentially through high school and often grows.
Just a minute left here, Brandon. You say that the real losers in our system have been the high-achieving, low-income students. What can we do for them?
I mean, I wouldn't say that they're the only group that is losing out, but high-income kids or high-achieving kids, and especially low-income, high-achieving kids, are often left to languish in classes. People assume that they'll just do fine no matter what, and the problem with that is just fine isn't good enough. It's not fair to these kids. It's not fair to the state. Economically, these are kids who have the most promise, can do the most in adulthood if you maximize their education.
If there's one thing you would do for them, what is that?
Focus more on growth when you're holding schools accountable. See where they are at the beginning of the school year, see where they are at the end, and judge schools and teachers based on how much growth they make, not how many kids are above a single objective achievement bar, because that correlates too much with demographics. It doesn't actually give us a good picture of how schools and teachers are doing.
It's a complicated picture. Brandon Wright, editorial director at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. Brandon, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you very much.
Yep, and here is Fox News.